Hello everyone, my name is Sofia Yumakulov. I'm from the University of Calgary. I will give a brief talk about the involvement of midwives in past eugenic practices, as well as current genetic screening and genetic counseling, and the potential impact of artificial womb technology on midwifery. Now, midwives were a key component of genetic practices of the past. For example, in Japan, prior to the Second World War, midwives were a key component in regulating population growth, encouraging larger families, and bringing the idea of racial hygiene into homes. At the turn of the 20th century, midwives in Great Britain were being encouraged by physicians to view themselves as eugenicists, and in the late 1800s, midwives were heavily involved in neo-Malthusian birth control and negative eugenic practices in Holland. Today, midwives are increasingly involved in prenatal screening practices and genetic testing and counseling. In a 2006 study with UK midwives showed that midwives were generally receptive to incorporating genetic counseling into their practice. In a 2009 study, in the UK, Netherlands, and Sweden, 79% of the midwives attended a course with genetic content. And in 2002, Kirk looked at UK midwives' genetic education and possible challenges for them in light of improved methods of genetic screening. Evidently, genetic screening and counseling are an important part of midwifery practice. One discussion that midwives are not involved in is that around artificial womb technology. Artificial womb is a man-made technology that can gestate a fetus, effectively replacing the biological uterus. I completed a review of literature looking at artificial wombs, and debates around this technology have been going on since the idea was first conceived and has pervaded media and literature for nearly a century at least, but only, it seems, among feminists, mainly concerned with how such technology will impact the abortion debate and women's rights. Although artificial womb is often associated with science fiction, it is on its way to becoming a reality. In 1996, Kubawara and colleagues were able to gestate a goat fetus in an artificial placenta for 3 weeks. In 2002, Hongqing Liu et al. Used a scaffold model to create a human uterus and were able to grow human embryos for 6 days and mouse embryos for 16 days. An artificial womb might be created also because IVF technologies are improving, on the one hand, allowing us to sustain embryos longer and longer, and neonatal technologies are improving, on the other hand, allowing us to keep premature fetuses alive earlier and earlier. Eventually, these two sides will meet, where we'll be able to maintain and gestate an embryo to term completely outside of a woman's body. Interestingly, there is almost no discussion in this literature about what such technology would mean for society at large or for the future of the human body, especially in light of modern eugenics and synthetic biology. Indeed, with sterilization in the past, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, IVF, and genetic screening today, the artificial womb is the next logical step to achieving true control over human evolution. It is the ultimate form of improving the stock, so to speak. Synthetic biology is the field of biological research focused on designing and redesigning genetic devices and living systems. The ultimate vision for this field is to be able to construct genomes from the bottom up, base pair by base pair. Possibilities include things like creating humans who can photosynthesize. If it really works, which it eventually will, eugenic activities will go from how to avoid certain traits in offspring to simply adding things to the offspring, and the repertoire would be limitless. Artificial wombs and synthetic biology are naturally complementary because one would no longer be hindered by issues of using human surrogates for genetic experiments. Current debates around gender equality, women's rights to their bodies, etc. would be moot since one wouldn't need neither woman nor man to procreate since the genome can be synthesized from scratch, no gametes needed. The driver behind such activities will be the same as for eugenics, the desire to create better people, to excel, to compete, to produce. The only way that we don't go down this road in the near future is to change these underlying ability expectations and assumptions. The prospect of artificial wombs and synthetic biology should pose serious concerns for the midwifery field. If, with the midwifery model of decreasing medicalization of pregnancy and birth, what happens when artificial womb technology is achieved and there is no pregnancy at all? What will happen to midwifery once natural birth or any kind of birth from a woman is no longer necessary? And what will it mean when procreation is no longer dependent on man and woman? If we are to tackle eugenics and the logical progression of technologies and practices stemming from it, as I've demonstrated, we have to go beyond attacking the technology itself, and rather we have to question the ability-driven premise behind creating the technologies in the first place. Thank you very much.